Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to read a little bit. Bible says in verse 1, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." The Bible says here that the Lord had called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. Better than that, I'm glad I'm saved and I know it. And I'm glad he knows me. Hey, I might lose my mind before this thing's over with. A lot of people seem to back home, seem to be getting Alzheimer's and dementia. Hey, I'm headed that way now. Amen. But I'm glad he knows I'm saved. And the Bible says here that we are a chosen generation. And we are special to the Lord. Folks, but you know what? We're still here on the planet Earth. Not by accident, but I believe that we are here to show forth the praises of him that called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. The Christian life is undoubtedly the greatest life a man, a woman, a boy, a girl could ever live. Amen. What life, folks, we have as believers. Well, one of the things that anchors my soul as a believer, folks, during those storms and trials of life is the fact that, folks, I'm saved. And he's sailing with me. He's the captain of our salvation. He promised, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." Amen. I'll tell you what, you can take that to the bank. You can rest your head on that. As God's people, we should be, folks, joyful in his presence. Every time we meet together, folks, we should be expecting him to come. And the Bible says the Lord does give a song in the night seasons. And folks, he gives it all day long too. Amen. Folks, don't ever lose your song. Amen. When the chips are down, you still got a song. If that stinking world can sing about some lousy things, folks, to try to recover from their down and out life, folks, surely we could just rejoice in the God of our salvation. I mean, a drunk may not have a friend in the world, might not have a penny to his name. Well, you can hear him walking down the street singing a song. All of a sudden, he loses control of himself and he becomes everybody's friend. He comes up to you and buddy up to you, and you don't even know him from anybody else that you hang out with, but he knows you, and he says, "You know what? I just like to come around and have a good time and sing." Folks, every once in a while, you and I need to kind of just let the Holy Spirit fill us up. Amen. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. One of the signs of being filled with the Spirit is that they sing songs and psalms. Amen. I mean, just sing to yourself. Amen. Tell you what, you throw somebody off. Amen. You hang around, brother Jim Chandler, man. I'll tell you what, everywhere he goes, he sings a line, a song. Somewhere he's always got a song and he puts out. He never finishes it. I was driving down the road with him the other day and he started the song and I couldn't remember what it was. And but that song, that tune sounded familiar. But he stopped and I thought, "Won't you finish the song?" Yeah. And he looked over there and said, "Brother, I don't even remember the rest." But he said it sounded good when I did it. And I thought, man, that boy's always got a song. And I like that. Amen. I like being around people that enjoy their Christian life. What are you saying, folks? I want to tell you, I want to preach a little bit about what makes the Christian life great. There's a lot of things that makes the Christian life great. One of the things I know for sure, folks, you can count on God. Amen. One of the things that God does, folks, is, man, He just takes you and picks you up. Folks, I'm telling you, there's something about our God that other so-called gods can never do. Amen. You think about a Navajo medicine man. He'll sit cross-legged and he'll sing all night long. And his prayers don't go past the Hogan ceiling. But the diligence, the determination, amen, and just the thing that he's dedicated to do. And there's just quietness, and yet he don't ever give up. Well, the Bible says God will answer us sometime before we even offer the prayer. God will just show up and help us. Amen. And you've got people around the world that are trying to get a hold of God their own way. And yet we have a God, folks, that we can count on. I want to preach a little bit about this thought here. You know, it says we're a chosen generation. I just want to say, what makes the Christian life so great? Well, I want to just give you a few things. Amen. Get out of the way. First of all, I want to say there was a great price provided. Bible says on Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it said, but God commended His love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, that great price of redemption. That great price of rescuing. Amen. Folks, I'm glad, folks, that God paid for the penalty of sin. He paid it in full. Amen. It's been paid. And I'm telling you, I think about that story that the Navajo told about that old chief. And that chief had a good family. And one day, we lived just south of the Utes, the Ute Indians. And one day the Ute, the warring party came onto the Navajo reservation. And they went and invaded a certain village. And they got that chief's daughter. And they said that while the fighting was going on, that chief from the Ute knew that was the daughter, so he ran right by her and grabbed her hair and just swung her up on the horse, and away he went. He was gone. And before he even knew it, he turned around. His daughter was missing. And he said that Navajo chief, he just began to realize that, you know what, one of the most precious people in his life had been taken. And he said, the last thing I do, he said, I'm going to get my daughter back. And so he did everything he can, and he formed a warring party, and they went and they fought, but they didn't find the daughter. And he come back and he said, you know what? I still want to get her back somehow. And you know what? Down the road somewhere, he decided, well, I'm just going to get her. But in the meantime, the girl's over at the Ute people, and the Ute had tied her to a tree, to a little pole, and then they'd make fun of her. Every day they get up and they say, your daddy's coming. And the kids will come, they pull her hair, and they mock her, and they say, your daddy's coming. And she'd look around, and tears fill her eyes, and up in them hills, and nowhere, no sight of daddy. And I'm telling you, she's being tortured like that. And then one day the chief said, I think she's kind of got used to us. Let's just loose her up, and don't tie her no more. Let her become one of us. But she realized that she could never become one of them. But as an alien, she wandered around in the midst of that camp. And every once in a while, the kids would come and they would push her down and say, your daddy's coming. And she went through that torment. Then one day in the morning, she got up, and one of the kids said, your daddy's coming. And she looked up beyond the horizon. There was a horse that come up on that hill with a tall Indian on it. And she looked, and all of a sudden, for the first time in her life, she smiled. And she said, I know that horse. And then she started making his way down here, and he didn't holler no war chant or nothing. He just rode into camp, went up to that chief, and he said, I come for my daughter. And he got all these gifts, and he gave it over to this chief, and the chief took all the gifts and said, now give me my daughter. And that daughter, she got back on the back of that horse, and she stuck her tongue out at that people, and he said, I told you he was coming. Let me tell you something, folks. I've been telling this world, he's a coming. Amen. That's what makes Christian life so great. From the fact that He is coming. It's going to be the day He'll come. Well, I'm telling you, but He paid a price for you and I. God gave His only begotten Son. It was in His plan from the foundation of the world to give His Son. You know, I think about the fact that, you know what? The Bible says it was a passionate price. The Bible says that He was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. God tasted death for all of us. Amen. The Lord Jesus, what it meant to be forsaken. He knew what it meant to be beaten. He knew what it meant to, folks, suffer. And yet the Bible says, I'm so glad it says that He opened not His mouth. I'm glad He saw that, you know what, the suffering that He was doing was not for His own cause, but for the cause of you and I, for a fallen race. Man, not only was it a passionate price, but I want to say it was a penalty erasing price. Amen. He erased the penalty was against us. Bible says He cleanses us from all sin. Well, I'm telling you, since Calvary, you know, you can't tell just how many animals have been killed in the Old Testament for the sake of man's sin. Amen. Every time man turned around, it had to be some kind of innocent animal had to be come and slew before he could make his appearance in the presence of God. But I'll tell you what, some of the sweetest words I think ever spoken was spoken in the wilderness when John the Baptist spoke and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Amen. No more lambs had to be slain. No more animals had to give their life. Folks, all that was the blood that needed to be shed was shed down on Calvary. Aren't you glad the Lord came by Calvary, folks, and hey, paid the price of sin? Folks, I didn't get saved, folks, and from the church pew. I didn't get saved. I wasn't a kid on a Sunday school bus. I was wicked and bound for hell. I walked the streets of Farmington, New Mexico. Right out of the military, got a job, started drinking, kept drinking, military, and then after I come out, I was still drinking, I was a drunk. My mom and dad say, "You're not part of this family no more, you need to move away. Nobody wanted me." But thank God, one day, I met my wife's mama, the old godly woman. When I come home about 2 o'clock in the morning, I'd hear mumbling behind that door when I walked past her room. And I thought, what's this old woman moaning about? Little did I know that she was on her knees praying for this old jaybird. I remember she came to the breakfast table one morning and she said, I just wish you'd get saved. That scared me to death. She never missed church. Preacher come by and he said, "You know, we'll come here to pick up Irene. You want to go?" And I said, "No, you take her." I felt church was for old people. Didn't care for it. 27 years old. Down the road there, you know, about 52 miles, they opened up a housing area. And I couldn't wait. When my name came up, they said, "You're eligible for this housing. And if you can, you come and bring $400. And boy, I tell you what, I did everything I can to get $400 to move as quickly away from my mother-in-law as I can. It wasn't because I didn't like her, but she scared me. You know how it was spooky? Middle of the night, I'd be drunk, coming staggering in, walking on that wall down that hall, and I hear her mumbling. I thought, she got something wrong too, amen. But then I get up early in the morning, my wife wakes me up and says, "It's time to go. I need to go to work." I get up in the morning, boy, I'll tell you what, it's hard for me to get up, but I'd get up and I'd hear her mumbling. I thought, man, she must have stayed up all night. What's so important that she had to stay up for? All that I know that she was praying for me. When I moved away, folks, that first Thursday night, I thought, who the world's knocking at 6:30 in the evening? I walked over there and here's a tall white guy. He said, "My name is Bob Walker. Somebody told me you live here. Are you Wilson Calvin?" I said, "That be me." And he said, "Somebody told me to come visit you, and I want to just talk to you about Jesus." I said, "Sir, I got my religion, you got yours. Hit the road, amen. I ain't got time for you." He's a big white man, but once I knew he was a Christian, he wasn't going to hit me. So I opened my mouth, I was bold. I could see, you know, his face changed, and he said, "All right." He walked around, got back, and he's big on the left. And I thought I took care of him right away. Next Thursday night, 6:30. I'm glad I never became a Catholic or Church of Christ. Amen. Jehovah Witness. I'm glad a Baptist knocked on my door. You understand? I'm not going to heaven because I'm a Baptist. I'm going to heaven because I've been washed in the blood. But I'll tell you what. I'm sure glad it was a Baptist knocked my door. For the next 6 weeks, every Thursday night, 6:30. It got to where I told my wife, I said, you better put coffee on. The preacher's coming. Thank God for people that knock doors. Thank God for people that do what they're supposed to do. Folks, if you know how great this Christian life is, you want other people to have it too. You can't wait to let other people know, hey, what a great life we have. Amen. When God shows up around here, folks, man, I'll tell you what. Listen, it's hard just to be still. I'm telling you what, folks, something going on the inside here. Folks, a lot of us, you know, when we experience it, we can't stay and sit here and sit like a wooden Indian. Amen. We've got to get up and shout. Amen. You know what that is? That's the Spirit of God moving in us. Telling us, hey, you remember when you had like the sister and her kids were singing? You remember where you were when the Lord saved you? Well, I'm telling you what, not only was it, the price that I believe, you know, it's also a permanent price. Folks, it never be paid again. And I'm telling you, my sins are not like Job sewed up in a bag. My sins are not like Isaiah's behind God's back. My sins have been taken away. Yeah. Amen. Forever. Amen. I'll tell you, my sins have been taken away, never to be remembered against me no more. Amen. Why is this Christian life so great? Because of the price that God provided for us. Number two, I want to say there was a great peace that was presented. Yeah. Jesus said in John 14:27, this peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Amen. This peace that God gave us, folks, is a peace that passeth all understanding. Amen. It's a peace that you and I tonight, folks, can look back on and say, thank God, there's no more wrestling going on in my life. I remember that morning when I got saved. I'll tell you, I was coming out of a hangover, out of a drunk, going into a hangover. I remember I woke up that morning. I didn't remember my son had gotten a tract from that preacher that Saturday. I mean, he'd been doing real good visiting me Thursday night at 6:30, but he kind of threw a monkey wrench and the whole thing showed up Saturday morning. I said, what the world is he doing here Saturday morning? I'm going to find out he had rented the gymnasium down to the local school and decided to have church there the next day. As far as I know, I'm the only man that ever got saved in that gymnasium. And that outreach that preacher did, it's amazing. I never thought I'd be a preacher. I never thought that God would use me to plant churches on the Navajo Reservation. I don't know. The Bible said we have a cloud, we're compassed about with a cloud, so great a cloud of witnesses. And you helped me just to indulge in my fantasy a little bit. I think our Brother Walker's up there and he's running the aisle. Amen. And he said, there's another one. I mean, just adding to his account. I mean, my pastor died at 63 years old. He started that church where we first started. My son and I got saved in the same, got baptized in the same church after we got saved. And shortly after that, the pastor died. But I'll tell you what. One of the greatest blessings of my life was him introducing me to Jesus Christ. Man, a peace flooded my soul like I have never experienced in my life. Folks, this peace that I got, folks, it's very real. Let me say this here. It's not only real, it's receivable. Amen. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That peace that we have today, folks. We make peace with God. You know, the U.S., United States government went around the country and made peace with a lot of the Indians. And people come up to me all the time and say, What's Indian giver? I told him, your people invented it. You should know. It wasn't the Indian that took something back. White man speak with forked tongue. He's the one that took something back. Well, I'll tell you what. I got news for you. You can keep it. I told the people the other day, wasn't it? I said that we're going. The Indians going to go first because we have a reservation up there. Amen. Well, I'm telling you. There's more turmoil today. It's hard to reach the Sioux, the Cheyenne, the Arapahoes, up in the northern part of the country, the Pueblos, because, folks, they've experienced the broken treaties. And they said, white man's coming back to reconcile everything. How's he going to do that? They don't believe him no more. But you know what? They accuse me of following a God, a white man's God. I tell them, I say, you don't know what you're talking about. I said, the white man had to receive Jesus Christ just like me, just like I did. And I said, the difference between them and us, folks, is that they're the one that brought us the gospel, but somebody else gave it to them, and now we're giving it to you because you need it just as much as anybody. Because God is no respecter of person, folks. And if you would have just received Him, you would get the peace that passed all understanding. You would have some peace and you would quit fighting. Amen. This is a great peace that God gave us. Not only peace with God, but the peace of God. I don't know about you, but more and more every year or even every month now that we hear about stuff going on in this country. I've been holding this thing 32 years, and my, what a change in 32 years. What a mess we're in tonight. If I can go home tonight, folks, and lay down on the pillow without taking no baby aspirin and have a good, sweet sleep because I got the peace of God in my heart. The world might be falling apart, but I'll go to sleep. Not worry about anything. Wouldn't it be nice if we all went to bed tonight and woke up in glory? Some of us people from Arizona don't have no rivers. And wouldn't it be nice just to wake up by the river of life? Wake up in the morning and hear that trickling of the water and say, man, I'm in a different country right now altogether. That peace. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for it. I'm hungry for it. There will be no peace till the Prince of Peace comes. And that's going to be true peace. Amen. All these religions talk about peace. They ain't got no knowledge of what peace is. The Muslims talk about giving us peace, but they take the peace, this peace here, and that peace here, and that peace there. But the right kind of peace the Lord can give. He's the only one that is, guys. The Bible says He is the Prince of Peace.
Amen.
I want to say this is a great, not only a great Christian life, it's great not only because of the great peace, but it's also great because of the great power that can be possessed. The writer in Acts chapter 1 says that after we receive the Holy Ghost, who has received power, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us it is the power of God. And you look over there for a minute. I want to read something else there. Matter of fact, it's right in the next chapter. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Bible says there in this chapter 1, we just read verse 18, but look there in chapter 2. In chapter 2, it said, "My brethren, when I came to you," he said, "came not unto you with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Folks, I'm glad that when the men of God got the touch of God on him, they get to preaching. Folks, that power is seen. That power comes through. Folks, thank God for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Thank God that us men, even though sometimes we struggle, we don't have to stand here alone. We got this person of the Holy Spirit to help us. Amen. He comes to fill us. And when He fills us, folks, when God fills us, you ought not to be ashamed. Hey, to witness for Him. Amen. I always tell that story about that lady. You know, she's our piano player now, but she was a drunk when she passed out over 200 tracks. I didn't even have people doing that in my own church. Christians wouldn't even pick up tracks. And that woman caught me on the street. I was passing out tracks. She said, "What are you doing?" I said, I'm giving out tracks, telling people about Jesus. She said, "Oh, you're a preacher." I said, "Yes." And she said, "You know, what are those?" And I said, "This piece of paper tells people how to go to heaven." She said, "Let me see them." She looked at it and she said, "He's just drunk, you know." She said, "You mean this works?" I said, "Yes, it does." And she said, "Let me take these over here to my husband. Is getting DTs right now. We're going to the hospital. Maybe I'll pass him out over there while I'm waiting." She goes over there. 3 hours later, she comes back, knocks on my door, and she said, "Preacher, do you have some more of those? I done passed them all out. I didn't even think there was 200 people at the hospital." But you know what she did? She walked across to the flea market and passed to everyone that I've already given to, giving them again. Yeah. You know, you can't. It's hard to say no to a drunk, you know. Yeah. They'll just stand there and blabber and everything, and then they finally say, "Okay, I'll take it." I mean, gave him double dose. Amen. Yeah. She wasn't ashamed. I got people in my church every week that get up and say, "Well, I got filled with God." I say, "Well, what did you do for Him?" It's a shame that we don't ever do anything. But the Bible said when he fills us, folks, we become unashamed. Not only that, but we become unafraid. Folks, God's power is not given to us to become a charismaniac. Amen. He's not given to us to make us feel good. Help us to, folks, it makes us to continue and be courageous and be effective as a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, with the power of God, folks, we can grow, we can go, and we can grow. Amen. I believe that we can do that. Bible said in Revelation chapter 10, verse 6, it said that there should be time no longer. We've got a limited time on this earth. We better take advantage of the filling of the Holy Ghost just as much as we can. Some of us, we don't have no room for the Holy Spirit to fill us. Amen. Like somebody said this week, you got all of Him that you're going to get in your spiritual life. But folks, does He have all of you to have? Some of us are so full of things that there's no room for the Spirit of God to do something. We hinder Him. You know, the power of God is available. It can be possessed. It can be had. I'm telling you, there's folks today that, I'm telling you what, they're living their Christian life. And you know, I got people in my church that every week, they manage to just ruin my day. Yes. And if it wasn't for me getting a hold of the Holy Spirit, I'd probably be in the same mess they're in. Hey, somebody got to get filled. Yes. Amen. Amen. Somebody got to get a hold of God. Amen. Somebody got to do something. Not only want to say this, but let me say this. There is a Christian life that is so great because there's a great person. Amen. That we present to you. Take your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. You know, in the book of Mark, we have a lot of instances of some physical things that the Lord Jesus did in a supernatural way. And the only way you could explain it is by reading the Bible and getting a good, real good look at what God is talking about in those specific areas. Mark chapter 2, the Bible says there, and I like this chapter, one of my favorite chapters. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in a house. Notice his presence. It was noise that he was in a house. You know, the greatest need we have today is God's presence in the midst of us. This week, God's been trying to show up. God's been kind of stirring around here, you know. And I'll tell you what, folks, no man needs to get up and get you to praise God if you know that you're just looking for God to show up. When He does show up, folks, it should just be something that you would expect when you come to church. I don't know about you, but I just don't come to church to come to church. I come looking for Him. It's a sad day when, folks, when you go to church and you know what? And God don't show up. We had a fellowship meeting about three years ago. And we have them every month, what we call the end of the month meeting. And one of these that we went to was that, some of you know Brother Jerry Begay, and it was his church. And we went over there, and his song leader got up that afternoon at 4 o'clock after we ate, and he got up, and he was his song leader. He got up, and he took a song book, and he helped us turn to a song that we didn't even know. And he's the only one singing it. The piano player couldn't follow. And when Terrence and I, we're sitting there, we look at each other and said, this is not going too good. And the guy, he stopped, and then he stopped and just railed on everybody. He said, come on, sing! How come you guys don't want to sing? And somebody said, we don't know the song. So he chose another one, and it's the same thing. And I said, this ain't going too well. And I'm telling you what, it just got worse from there. One of the preachers was preaching, and people were just talking. And that preacher just went like this. Nobody wants to hear it. He sat down. And I thought, my. And Terrence said, Dad, God just snuck his head in and said, you guys are doing all right without me. And he just left. That God sure must trust us to have a service on our own. I'll tell you what, it got worse. And what was going on was there was a preacher, and he just dries cracker juice, and he was trying to get into his message. And my if you're doing that, and my wife is sitting there, she'd lose interest, and my wife will start doing this. She'll start looking through her Bible, and she's doing that. She was sitting right by where Jimbo and Miss Powell was sitting, and there's some people over here. The preacher brought some folks, and they were over here, and boy, they was really trying to support their pastor. And they looked over there at my wife, and she was flipping, and they thought, well, she don't know where, bless her heart, she don't know where she's at. So they wrote on a piece of paper the reference, and they brought it over to her. And they told her that, here's the reference, that's where he's preaching from. And my wife was so embarrassed, she didn't know what to do, so she stuck it in there. Well, then the preacher got done, and then Brother Begay, instead of dismissing the people, he said, we have a word of testimony. Of course, there was a charismatic preacher there, and he got up. And I said, uh-oh. And he started walking this way, and then Brother Begay said, no preaching now, just give your testimony. Then he stood there, and he opened his Bible, and after a while he looked around, and he said, I'm looking for Deuteronomy. And he kept looking. He couldn't find Deuteronomy to save his life. And then Brother Leland Jim was sitting with us, and then he said, Sister Calvin, take that piece of paper and give it to him. He needs it. You know what I'm talking about, with the kind of service, where God don't ever show up. We left there. People were still there. My son and I, we left, went down the road, and I realized I needed gas. I pulled the Tohatchee gas station. There my son sat. And we just got our gas. We got off the road there, and we had us an old two-man camp meeting right there. We got to preach to each other, talk about God. Man, God showed up at the gas station. Woo! I tell you what, man, folks, I forgot I was supposed to go home. It was midnight, man. We was having a time. And those people looked out and they said, what's going on in the parking lot? I said, God is here. You want to come join up? And boy, they closed the door on it. Unusual things happen when God shows up. I like that when God shows up. Amen. I think about the time when God showed up in my life, Greatest need for us to realize the presence of God. As Christians, we should want God to show up. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. I've seen Him show up here before. Yeah. I've seen Him show up at our camp meeting in Arizona. I remember that year, Terrence, remember when the Eskimos came? Yeah. They got on, buddy. I'm talking about people was running laps. And we had that one Eskimo boy named Joseph. He come up here and he made that lap, and there was a choir standing here singing, and he squeezed through it the first time. He went around, came back the second time, and somebody just caught him right here, and he pushed him, and he went over into the baptistry. Good thing that thing was dry, amen. And Terrence pulled him out of there. He pulled out of there, and boy, he didn't even stop to lick. He just jumped back out and went running again. Crazy things happen. I remember one of the ladies got so fired up, she took her handkerchief out, and she started swinging it, And we had brought this woman for the first time, with her husband, and she was sitting by that husband and that wife, and she sat there, and she was going like this, woo, 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 and that man was going, and he had never been in church before. And then Brother Silverton got up and he said, Leanne, swing with the other arm. You're hurting them. Amen. I remember that. Amen. You just forget where you're at. Amen. When God shows up, hey, God shows up, nothing else matters. He's here. Hey, we don't care. We just want Him to be here. All that He wants to be here. Hey, let this thing make a joy right here. Amen. When God does that, folks, nothing else matters. Amen. I tell you what, it's worth making a fool of yourself over. It's good things about meeting with God. God's presence, folks. You remember what Peter said? It's good that we've been here. Amen. Talk about that mountaintop experience. We need Him. I don't know about you, but this is my mountaintop experience here. I come down here to the lowlands of Alabama. You call these little hills mountains. You come see our mountains. 10,000 feet, 9,000 feet, way up there. I tell people, I'm from Arizona. I go, oh, it's hot down there. Not where we live. Hey, this winter we had 30 below zero weather for 2 weeks. That's pretty cold in northern Arizona. I'm told that that's kind of unique with Arizona. God just kind of cools that reservation down. We must have a lot of hotheads on the reservation. Always cool. But I'll tell you what, folks, when God shows up there, man, I'll tell you what, it's amazing. I remember one time God showed up, Brother Coley was preaching, and I'll tell you, he about lost his breath. He come down here from 2,000 feet elevation, and he's up there, and he's going, he went down, and everybody just got quiet. After a while, he goes, hello, I'm back. God got in that thing. People got to shout, and people got to run, and it starts getting stirred up. God don't need too much. Amen. He's not impressed with your education. He's not impressed with your fluent life. All He wants is to give Him space so He can come and do something He wants to do. Amen. We need Him to come. Amen. I come to get a good dose of that this week. Would to God that we just come and say, Lord, nothing else happens. We want You to show up. We want us to do something for us.